art thou, O great mountain. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We want to thank God for such a time as this. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We thank God for bringing us to such a time as this. It's going to be an awesome time in God's presence.
Yes.
And we thank God for what He's about to do in our lives.
Amen.
I want to welcome you this morning to our Sunday service.
Yes.
And it's going to be a wonderful time in the presence of God.
Amen.
I want us to get ready to receive.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be an awesome time.
Amen.
This is Dunamis and Sophia from Shouts of Grace Center. We believe that God has been good over the months, despite the situation with COVID-19. God has kept us alive. God has kept us intact. God has protected us in several ways, and we believe God for even more wonderful time even after this COVID season. This morning we are looking at
four areas of needs to understand your why.
Yes, we are looking at four areas of needs, and it's going to be an awesome time in God's presence. Four areas you need
to understand your why.
A lot of people talk about not being able to understand their spouse as much as they should. A lot of people believe even that women are extremely complex. But whichever way it is, I believe God so strongly that this morning God is going to be speaking to us as we look at the topic on four areas that you need to understand your why. I believe so strongly that somebody is going to be extremely blessed this morning as we go into God's word and look at the dynamics that works for people in marriage.
And
God wants us to have a beautiful marriage.
Yes,
I can assure you of that. God wants us to have a beautiful marriage. God wants us to have a wonderful time as husband and as wife. But there are things to learn when it comes to marriage. Marriage is not automatic.
Yes.
Marriage is not something you just bump into. Mm. Marriage is not something you just arrive at. Mm-hmm. It's a deliberate journey.
Yes.
And I call it a journey because it's a really, really long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is not a 100-meter dash.
Yes.
Marriage is a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going on the marathon, the kind of preparation you have is different from when you're just doing a 100-meter dash. You're looking at a long haul. You're looking at, going so number of years. So it's extremely important that you prepare yourself as you go into marriage. So this morning we're looking at how to understand your wife, because there is a way to understand your wife. So the first thing we are looking at this morning is to understand our love language. To understand our love language. This is because every woman has a particular love language. Sometimes they can have more than one language, maybe two love languages. But the important thing for us to understand that your wife has a love language.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to when you get into marriage, you have to understand that language particularly. And it's extremely important to do. You see, because a language is a password.
Yes,
just like you cannot enter into a computer system without a password. There are some houses you can't access, in today's world because they are passworded. There are certain files you might not be able to access because it's passworded. You have to understand and know, that password. The same way there are files in the system of your wife. She's a system. They say women are complex. Men are complex as well, but I think women are more deeper. So in order to be able to access the files in your wife and understand her, and understand her feelings, understand, what is going on with her, you've got to have a password.
Mm-hmm.
And this, our love language, is a password.
Yes, it is.
Are you here with me?
Mm-hmm.
A love language is a password. Languages are so powerful.
Yes.
Extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely powerful. Let me show you a scripture somewhere in Genesis chapter 11 and verses 6 to 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And these they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Then it says, Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language." Understand that. Confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. What is the Bible telling us here? What the Bible is telling us here is that languages are powerful. You see, those guys came together and said, "We're going to build a city whose tower will reach into heaven."
Mm-hmm.
And when God saw their togetherness and their unity, which is expressed in their language,
mm-hmm.
God said, "These people are going to achieve what they wanted to."
Mm-hmm.
The only way we can stop them is to tamper with their language.
Language.
Once we tamper with their language, their purpose will be destroyed. And so the next thing that God did, he said, "Let us go to and confound their language." Because they said they're going to build a city that whose tower will reach into heaven. And the reality is that they are going to achieve exactly what it said. The only joker we have is to touch their language. And the same way, let me tell you, once you don't understand the language of your spouse, there will be issues. You've got to understand our language. You've got to understand his language. But we'll focus on the wife today because we are looking at how to understand your wife and how to have a wonderful time in marriage. And this topic is relevant to singles as well, because now you need to prepare for your wedding. So God said, "I've got to tamper with their language. If I don't tamper with their language, I can't access these people. They're going to build a city." You see, the same way, if you have one language and you understand your language, you can build anything that will touch the heavens. You can have a ministry whose impact will reach the heavens. You can have a business whose impact will cut across the entire world system. You see, languages are powerful. Imagine me and my wife here, And I'm speaking English language, and she doesn't understand English language, and the only language she understands is French language, and I don't understand French language. How are we going to survive? There's going to be issues. That is the same way a lot of couples are living. They are living their married life and speaking different languages. Like my pastor said, Reverend Fabio Duole, he said at the time he was traveling back to Nigeria, and they had a stopover in a particular country. And then there was a mix-up with his luggage. And then he went there, and then he said, please, he said he was speaking in his best Queen's English. Please, I think I misplaced my luggage. I need to get my luggage back. And he said, the person looked at him and said, kes. Ah. He said, kes. I don't understand, Fred. He said, okay, kes. Man of God, kes. My luggage, kes. You know, you see, there's a problem right there. He's speaking a language that the guy doesn't understand. There's going to be trouble right there. This is how a lot of people are living their married life. And it is sad because a lot of trouble arise from there because they don't understand their language. You see, I have three boys in the house. I have one that is 20. I have one that is a teenager. And the other two are teenagers anyway. You see, those people have their languages. They have their languages, and I remember back then when I was a young boy, as a teenager, I just simply concluded my dad doesn't know anything. He doesn't understand anything. He doesn't understand how the world is moving. He doesn't understand, you know, what is going on right now. He doesn't understand anything. He's just an old man right there. You see, the reason I was thinking like that is because I have my language as a teenager. He had his language as an older man, as a parent. And so if the language of the parents and the children, if they don't understand their language, there's going to be trouble. One of the languages of teenagers or young men is that they want their space. They just want their space. I remember as a young man coming back from school, I just want to stay in my room. I don't want anybody disturbing my life. I don't want anybody calling me. I just want to stay there and focus and, you know, do whatever I need to do. But it's not, that doesn't mean teenagers or young people today should default to that, because there are a lot of other dangerous things they do now, like play games and all other things that are not productive, unlike, you know, today, where there, unlike then, there were no gadgets and all of those distractions. But today, I remember when I had my space then as a teenager, I was reading my books. Mm-hmm. I was reading literature books. I was just developing myself as a writer. I was writing novels, so it was something productive. So I'm not saying teenagers should have their space and be indulging in playing games and some productive things and some mundane things. However, their language is still that they want to just have some space. Another thing is that during that time, they believe nobody understands them. Whereas all they need to do is to walk up to their parents and ask questions. They don't ask questions. I remember growing up, I didn't ask questions. I was always scared of my dad, you know, and all of that. But I discovered a few times I walked up to my dad, looked him in the face, man to man, he just became gentle and listened to me. And he addressed me like a man. You see, that's the way it is. If you're a teenager and you're listening, when you want to talk to your dad, walk up to your dad confidently like you know what you're doing. You don't walk up to your dad like you don't know what you're doing. Say, dad, get out of my face. You don't know what you're saying. Walk up like a man. Prepare yourself. If you have to prepare your speech, prepare it. And walk up to your dad and say, dad, I need to see you. Say, okay, good, sit down. So you talk intelligently. Let me tell you what I did. When I was in class 3, secondary school, I wanted a bicycle. And I told my dad, he said, daddy, bicycle, he didn't listen to me. So I sat down, I calculated all my transport money from class 3 to SS3, the total, I put it down. I calculated the price of the bicycle, brand new bicycle, which was half the price of my total transport. Put it down, wrote everything, you know, like a project, and present as a class 3 student. And I walk up to him and say, dad, I need to see you for something very powerful. I prepared something here. Please, can you look through it? He took it from my hand, looked through it for like 5 minutes, and he didn't say a word. He said, okay, it's all right. The next day, guess what? He was coming back from work, and another car was following me, an official car, a truck, and inside that truck was, no, like a pickup van. And inside that, those open pickup van. Inside the pickup van was my brand new bicycle. How did I get that? I was able to intelligently convince him. And that's the language of your parents. Be intelligent. Don't be dull. Be intelligent. Be articulate. Learn how to talk. You know, don't just say, "Daddy, I want phone. What do you need a phone for?" Talk to you and say, "Dad, you know, there's some research I need to make online, and I need to, you know, there's a way to do that." And so that, those are kids, and I'm not focusing on kids today. So let's go back to, we are talking about, you know, how to understand women. So love language is powerful. You've got to understand your wife's love language. For example, my wife here, what's her love language? Let me think a little bit. I think I know her love language. Her love language is acts of service and words of affirmation, basically. I think so. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's her love language. She just wants to, "I love you. You're my sweetheart. You are beautiful." Despite knowing that she's already beautiful, you know, she wants to hear it again and again. "You're beautiful. You are the most beautiful woman on the planet Earth." You know, and then the acts of service part, "I'm not doing well there at all, but I'm trying, and God is helping me." You know, sometimes we need grace for all these things. You know, all those kitchen things. "I'm just not led by the Spirit of God, but I'm learning to be led these days." So you've got to understand your wife's love language if you're going to understand her. That's number one basic thing you must understand. Let me quickly run through five love languages. There are five love languages. We have, there are four love languages. We have, you can see it on the screen. We have words of affirmation. We have quality time. We have gifts. We have acts of service. And we have physical touch. Let me say them again. Five love languages. And we have words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, words of affirmation has to do with, "Oh, you are the most beautiful woman on the planet. I so much love you. I so much need you. You are my wife. I don't have anybody aside from you. I appreciate you." You know, praise words. And appreciating her efforts after she finishes cooking, don't tap your tummy, tap her rather, and say beautiful words. Words of appreciation, and that's powerful. Then, of course, we have quality time, and quality time deals with you spending deliberate time with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes husbands think, "Once I provide money, that's all." Yeah, you say, even if you give your wife blank check, all right, if gifts and all those things are not, is not a love language, she will still be fulfilled. She will need you to sit down with her. Love language says that is what you do for me that makes me feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are not doing that, I don't feel loved. We got to understand how this thing works. And then we have gifts. And gifts deals with you being able to exchange with your wife and give her certain things that she appreciates, and they don't have to be big stuff. Sometimes it can just be a piece of chocolate. Sometimes it can just be something she appreciates. But as you do that consistently, she will be fulfilled and she will feel loved. And then, of course, we have acts of service. And this has to do with helping her out,
mm-hmm.
In the kitchen. You know, she's carrying something and they say, "Oh, no, let me do that for you." She's going to love you more when you know, give that act of service. And then the last one is physical touch. And a lot of men, these are their languages, but there are some women whose love language is physical touch. They just want you to be touched. And that is important for women because psychologists said that a woman that is not constantly touched will have a lifespan reduced. You understand that? Will have a lifespan reduced. So she wants to be touched. And then, of course, it's also concluded that an average woman needs 8 meaningful touches in one day.
Yeah.
8 meaningful touches in one day. I mean, one husband had that and said, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, that's not how you do it. See, she's passing and then you give her a touch. She's coming somewhere. But 8 meaningful touches should be included in every day, at least at the minimum level. Let me say it again, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and then physical touch. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I believe somebody's been blessed. So Pastor Sophia is going to take us on the second point.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Pastor Dunamis really dealt with the number one topic we have there, which is understanding your wife's love language. Let me say it again that it's very, very important for you to just understand your wife's need.
Yeah.
You see, your wife has been given to you by God to be your helpmate. So it's very important for you to understand her. And in understanding her, you'll be able to deal with her with knowledge. You'll know what areas to focus on, what will make her tick, what will make her tickle, so that she will be able to blossom and function well in the area that God has called her. You know, falling in love is natural. You know, people fall in love and then, you know, they feel, wow, we should just enter into marriage and we should live happily ever after. You know, everything should just, but it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You remember, you know, so natural things don't just work out that way. You have to learn. There is always, you know, God has instituted it in such a way that you learn. Even though God provides something for you, you have to take time to understand that thing, to learn about it.
Yeah.
Example, a woman gives birth to a baby and wow, she loves the baby and all that. You know, that's like a natural thing.
Yeah.
But the mother has to learn, you know, something as natural as breastfeeding the baby.
Yeah.
It's almost a crisis time for both the mother and the child, mm-hmm. while the child is learning to suck, you know, and then she's like, oh, take the breast, do this, you know, but they have to come to a point in time where she understands that when the baby cries, is what the baby needs, you know, it takes time to understand.
Yeah.
And that is why this topic is so important.
Very important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
You have to take time to understand the wife God has given to you. You know, somebody said a wife is a complex system that you have to learn about her and keep learning until you understand her. So the number two thing I'll be talking about in understanding to meet the needs of your wife is understand her temperament.
Yeah.
Every human being, not just your wife now, but we are talking about wives, has a temperament.
Yeah.
And our temperament is the reason why we behave the way we do.
Yeah.
You know, you will see somebody is just loud, somebody is just talks a lot, and you are wondering, why is this person talking? It's because that is our temperament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are all created by God. We are all a part of God. And God has different aspects. That is why you hear maybe in Genesis, God was angry. And in another place, you will see God is quiet. You pray to him and then he's silent.
Yeah.
In another place, you will hear that God was angry. Mm-hmm. In another place, you see God somebody fiery and all that. God has different areas. He has different dimensions. That is why David can come up and say, the Lord is my shepherd. The same Lord that comes to us as a shepherd also comes to us like a shield, like a mighty man of war.
Yeah.
You know, so God has this different aspect, different parts of him.
Mm-hmm.
And in God creating human beings, he said we are created in his image. So what God did is that he created different human and he puts in them different personalities.
Yeah.
Now what happened is that those personalities are still a part of God. When you see somebody in sanguine talking and like that, you know that that person is still a part of God.
Yeah.
That person has something to function. And our temperament, our personality is given to us by God so that we can function in the area where he has destined us to.
Yeah.
You know, our personality makes up of the things that we can do. You know, you see somebody, for example, that will always enter a room and is always speaking out faults and all that. That person probably is destined to see the needs, to see the hidden things, to see details.
Yeah.
And that is a pointer to that person's calling. So going back to understanding our temperament, there are four basic temperaments. I remember reading about temperaments book, Tim Lahaye's book, How You Behave the Way You Are. I read that book as a newly engaged person. You know, I'll probably be a teenager in my early 20s, and it was so wonderful. I read the book and I was like, wow, this is something I've been looking for. And in reading that book, I would literally know the temperament of everybody as they come. You know, I would just know their temperaments. I might just look at their eyeballs and be able to, okay, this person is a sanguine. I might just look at their lipstick, you know, and be able to tell, oh, this person is a choleric, you know. And it was so wonderful. I really enjoyed that book. So there are four basic temperaments, and you need to understand this about your wife. Another thing is that opposite will always attract.
Yeah.
That is the law of attraction. Opposite will always attract. That means if you are a sanguine, you will probably attract a melancholy or a phlegmatic. Opposite will always attract. Now let's go to the four basic temperaments. We have the sanguine. We have the sanguine, we have the choleric, we have the phlegmatic, and the melancholy. Now the sanguine is the appealing temperament, the storyteller, the talkative, the life of the party, the person that loves great humor. A sanguine will always, when a sanguine is coming into a room, you will hear the sanguine's voice before you see her. You know, so, you know, a sanguine is loud, you know, always talking, has wild ideas and all that. A choleric is dominant, strong personality, is very decisive, is stubborn, and could even be arrogant. You know, so when you have a wife like that, you have to understand, okay, this is this person's temperament. You know, of course, there are other things, you know, you have to be spirit controlled, you know, as a wife. Bible says you should submit to your wife, but we are not going there today. And then the third personality trait or temperament is the phlegmatic. The phlegmatic is the easygoing one. I'm a phlegmatic, you know, I'm easygoing, could be laid back, could be nonchalant, you know, easygoing, I just love peace. You know, I want to do everything to maintain peace. You know, I'm a flag. You know, then we have the melancholy. The melancholy is a thinking person. It's always analyzing, making lists, evaluating positive and the negatives. You know, evaluating facts, always precise. You know, want things to be done with precision. Always, you know, a melancholy is a person that wants. If melancholy puts something somewhere, he wants to meet it there. If anybody picks what the melancholy has put somewhere, she will know immediately and she could be furious.
Because of the perfectionist tendency. You know,
because of the perfectionist tendency, yeah. The melancholy is a perfectionist. And you can know that, you know, when a melancholy is dressing up, she wants to make sure the hair is intact, the lipstick, the dress is ironed, you know, everything is intact. You know, you have to understand these temperaments because you will understand how she's behaving the way why she's behaving the way she is. And another thing is that we could have a blend. Usually we have a blend of at least two of those temperaments. Mm. It's possible we have a blend of three. Some people even have a blend of the four temperaments, you know, but you have to, in understanding these temperaments, you are able to manage the weaknesses of your wife, and then you focus on her strength and build up the strength of your wife. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, very quickly, we'll move to number three, which talks about understanding our needs. You see, every man, every woman, they have their needs. But women have peculiar needs. They have certain needs that are peculiar to them. And it's important that the husband, goes ahead to ensure he understands those needs. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says there, it says, in the same way, married men should live considerately with their wives, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you are joint heirs of the race, of the grace, God's unmerited favor of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Otherwise, you cannot pray. Those of us on Facebook, I want to encourage us to share this video to your timelines, let other people know about it. So the Bible is saying to men here, or to husbands here, that you have to understand your wife. And it says, if you don't try to understand her and you treat her roughly, he said, you will not be able to pray effectively. In other words, there is a way to treat your wife. There is a way to relate with your wife. And so you have to understand the needs of your wife. This is extremely important. Now, there are three areas that you need to understand your wife in trying to meet her needs. Let me say that again. There are three areas that you need to understand your wife in your bid to meet her needs. If you go through these three areas, meeting her needs would become effective. Because a lot of men are frustrated. A lot of husbands are frustrated. I don't know what my wife wants. I don't understand her. I don't do this. I want to mention a few areas through which you can meet those needs. I hope you are with me. So the first one has to do with time. She needs a lot of time. A lot of time. She needs a lot of time. And so if you can spend time with her, you will certainly understand her more and you'll be able to meet her needs. Time. And let me tell you that nothing can replace this time that you spend with your wife. Nothing. No gift can replace it. That time is essential. That time is extremely important. The second area is attention. Because now you can spend time with your wife and not give her attention. You see, attention means you are listening to her. You see, when I was in the university studying my master's degree program, Communication and Language Arts, our professor then told us that there are different levels of listening. And there is the highest level of listening, they told us, was empathic listening, in which the listener puts himself in the shoes of the person that is talking. Sorry, the person talking put himself in the shoes of the person that is listening, and vice versa. So you are entering into the world of the person you are communicating with. You are not disenfranchised. You are not disconnected somewhere, and then you are just speaking and speaking and speaking. No. You are speaking based on who that person is, and not from a selfish motive, but from a selfless perspective that you want to meet the needs of that person. So you see, communication is a skill. So attention is powerful. But now you can spend time without really giving attention. Yes. That is why I told us in the previous video that communication is 7% words, is 38% voice tone, is 55% body gesture, body language. I mean, look at that. So the mistake a lot of husbands make is, I've been telling you this woman, I've been telling you, you will not listen to me. I don't know what your problem is. And then he screams and screams and screams and screams, and then the woman does not change. And he's wondering, is it like They tie wrapper on inside your ears, like this guy will usually say, Brother Shaggy. Did they tie wrapper on your ears? Why can't you listen to what I'm saying? You see, you are using words, your voice tone, which is 38%, is wrong. Your body language gestures, they are wrong, and that is 55%. So the only thing you are concentrating on is the 7% words, and that means you are not going to be effective. So now, you want to talk or communicate with your spouse. The first thing you want to pay attention to is the body language, your voice tone. Are they in place? You can be sure your spouse will listen to you. So I mentioned time, I mentioned attention, and then the third one has to do with love and care. Love and care. It has to be communicated. Discuss with her how she wants to be loved. See, communication is powerful. Ask her. You might be assuming, you know, I know my wife, I know my husband, I know what my wife wants. No, you don't know. Sit her down and ask questions. When you ask those questions, it's going to help you to understand her more. So love and care. So time, attention, love and care. As a husband, focus on those three things, and then you'll be able to have an inroad into your wife.
Amen.
So we're going to take the last one very quickly before we close.
That's very powerful. Okay, the fourth one, the fourth needs of your wife that you really need to understand is understand our sexuality. Now, note that we didn't say understand her sex, not just about sex, but her sexuality. That means everything that has to do with our makeup, the hormones and all that. Another point I would like to make is that singles, this is not for singles, amen, because we are trying to understand how to meet the needs of our wives, of your wife. So this topic is for people that are married, you know. So every single person, wait until you are married. Wait until you are in a covenant with your spouse. You know, that is very, very important. You cannot be listening to this and say, okay, I have to understand her sexuality, and then you are trying to understand her body parts, you know, what makes her aroused and all that. It's wrong. You know, that will lead into problems, because, you know, God says emphatically that we should not engage in marital sex. That is very, very important. It's so important that if anybody engages in premarital sex, they are already on the wrong way, except they find repentance, true and genuine repentance. You know, a lot of issues are the aftermath of premarital sex. So singles, you don't want to delve into it at all. You want to do everything possible. You know, Bible says we should flee all appearances. Don't even wait. Don't even, you know, like the Yoruba proverb says that what you will not eat, don't even bring it close to you.
Don't try to smell.
Even talk of smelling it. It's foolishness. It's of no point. It's of no benefit. You want to lock all the doors, block all the, you know, lock all the windows, and make sure, you know, that you avoid premarital sex with everything you've got. Everything. You want to do everything possible to make sure you are not found in the web of premarital sex. I don't want to go into all that details, you know, but there are a lot of things that singles get themselves involved in once they get involved in premarital sex. So about understanding your wife, the fourth thing, like I said earlier, is you have to understand her sexuality. A woman, like we said, is complex, you know, and, you know, people, it's generally said that when God was creating Adam and wife, Adam and Eve, when he was creating Adam, he just put the clay together and created Adam. But when he was creating Eve, you know, God took his time. You know, he had to take the rib from Adam, you know, a fine rib from Adam, you know, and fashion it, made the ears, made the curves, made it, you know. So a woman is complex, and it's true. Okay, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, it reads, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." You know, that word "knew" is talking about having a deep knowledge of the wife. You know, that is why the Bible uses "knew." It's a form of knowing. You have to understand your wife. So in talking about the sexuality of your wife, you know, we talked about temperaments. That is the way your wife behaves. And the temperament, all these things are interwoven. You know, the way a sanguine responds is different from the way a choleric will respond is different. All these personality traits, in one way or another, affects our sexuality.
Yeah.
That's one every husband must understand. In the bedroom, how a sanguine will react, what will turn a sanguine off, may necessarily not be what will turn off a phlegmatic or a choleric or a phlegmatic, you know. So all this you have to understand, that your wife is differently wired from the man. It's differently wired from you. You have to understand that. And people say that for a woman, sex starts in the morning. It starts from how you greet her, how you are tender towards her, how you meet her needs of attention, of time, of giving her gifts, if that is her love language, of giving her time and attention, if that is her love language, of giving her gifts. It doesn't have to be something big. We've already said that. It could just be anything. It could just be a bar of chocolate. It could just be anything, you know, the way you appreciate her, the way you talk to her. If our love language is words of affirmation, there is a little girl inside every woman. That little girl wants to be talked to. And ladies respond to words. Ladies respond to words. You have to understand that. And then more so, if our love language is words of affirmation, the husband needs to know that he has to pay attention on speaking words to her. You know, the temperament has a way of, you know, having a play into her sexuality. And then it takes time for a woman to be ready. You cannot just come, you know, and be interested in having Jeru trip with her, and then you just come up and then you expect her to respond like that. No, it takes time for a woman to respond. Unlike the man is ready in like 5 minutes, 50 seconds,
5 minutes,
whatever.
A man is ready for sex in less than 10, 15 seconds because of the way, you know, the
body
man
is wired. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so you cannot just expect that. Some couples have problems, you know. My wife is frigid, she's not cooperating, she's this, she's that. That's because you have not spent time to understand her. And that is why, you know, I wonder what singles are rushing into marriage without first understanding what they are getting into. You need to read books. You need to unlearn things that you have learned before. You need to learn more things to know, okay, this person that I'm going to, because marriage is till death do us part. This person that I'm going to stay with till death do us part, what do I know about her? You know, like we say, a woman will need a minimum of 20 minutes of foreplay. A husband that doesn't know that will be frustrated. A husband that doesn't understand that my wife needs a minimum of 20 minutes of foreplay will just be wondering, why are we doing all this? Why are you wasting time? No, she's not wasting time. It's because that is the way she is wired. And if you don't understand this about her, you know, you will just be frustrated, in short. You will be frustrated, and that is not good for your marriage. God wants us to enjoy our marriage. God wants marriage to be blissful. But we need to understand all these things about our wife.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe this has been a blessing. So as a husband, you pay the price to study your wife and understand her and find out about her erogenous area and spend time to understand who she is in the bedroom. And that is what will make her to be fulfilled sexually. But now, because now you are not trying to focus on you alone, but you are focusing on your wife as well. And when you understand this about her, it will bring her into sexual fulfillment. We need to understand that our wives also need that sexual fulfillment. A lot of wives are living without that sexual fulfillment because of some of the factors that have been highlighted. But there's a way as a husband that you can help out in doing that. I believe we've been blessed with the Shouts of Grace Center. If you have your offering and your tithes, please kindly package it and send your offerings and tithes. On Facebook screen, you'll be able to see the banking details that you can use to give to Shouts of Grace Center. On Instagram, one of us will put a comment there, put the account details there for us to use on Instagram as well. So let's go ahead and give our seed, and I will just go ahead and pray over our seed. Then we'll take the announcement, and then we'll be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, O Lord, that you will grant unto our seed today to be accepted before you. We pray for harvest. We pray for increase. We pray for open heavens. We pray for financial supply. We declare all needs are met. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe we've been so blessed. Before we go offline, let me quickly say we have some announcements that are coming up. We have 31 Days of Marriage Challenge that is coming up on July 1st to 31st. The details are on our website, on Kisses and Hugs Club. It's a powerful program for married couples. 1 month program that involves prayers, that involves fasting, that involves deliberate working on the repair and the restoration of the marriage covenant. So it's a powerful program that every couple wants to attend. Mm-hmm. Also, we have another one for singles on June 22nd to 28th, 7 days of midnight prayers and teachings. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to miss that as well. So on the screen, you can see all the details there through which or by which you can register and be a part of this program. Or you can just get to casesandhugsclub.com, and then you'll be able to find more information about this program. I believe you have been blessed tremendously. Thanks for joining us on our service today. I want to thank you for your time. It's just been 1 hour, and we've been able to do a lot in that wonderful short time. We also want you to understand that this video will be available on Facebook afterwards. It will also be available on our YouTube channel at Dunamis Tunde Okunowo. If you get on YouTube, just search for Dunamis Tunde Okunowo, and then you'll be able to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and several videos on relationship and marriages are there that will bless you. On YouTube, Dunamis Tunde Okunowo. On Facebook, KHC Global, and you'll be able to have a wonderful time. On our website, kissesandusclub.com, we have devotionals for singles, for married couples, and for children as well. Every day, it's a resource you would like to check out. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes.
Thanks for being a part of this service. This is Dunamis and Sophia saying, we love you.
Yes.
Before we go, it's just a prayer for those who are sick in the body. If you have any ailment in your body, just pray for you 1 minute before we go. You see, part of God's covenant is that of healing and good health. We don't have to have sicknesses and pains and disease in our body. And there's an anointing of God upon our ministry to bring healing to this generation. If you have any sickness in your body, I'd like you to put your hands there right now, because God's power is going to come upon you as I pray, and the healing power of God will flow through you, and the healing that you need will be effective. I want you to trust God. I want you to believe God. I want you to stretch your faith and believe God for your healing right now. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, because your word never falls to the ground.
Hallelujah.
By your stripes, we are healed.
Yes, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank you.
I pray for everybody watching right now,
amen,
that might have a sickness or a disease,
yes,
in your body.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus,
amen,
I rebuke every sickness.
Yes, Lord.
I rebuke every disease,
amen,
every pain,
amen,
every ache,
amen,
every joint pain,
amen,
every problem or sickness,
amen,
in the blood, in the brain, in the liver,
yes,
in the lungs,
yes,
in the body, in the bones,
yes,
wherever it is, in the name of Jesus, lose your grip,
amen,
upon these words.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
amen,
you strong man of infirmity,
yes,
we command you, lose your hold in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We speak healing to everybody,
amen,
listening and watching,
amen,
right now. We speak God's healing power over your body, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You are healed in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Also, if you've not given your life to Jesus, you'd like to do that right now. Just say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I make you my Lord and my personal Savior. I declare you died for my sins. I declare you rose on the third day. I declare you are seated at the right hand of God. And today, I make you my Lord and my personal Savior. I declare in the name of Jesus, I'm a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Hallelujah. If you pray the prayer of over sickness and disease, I just pray, if you join in that prayer, check your body right now. You won't find any sickness, you won't find any disease, you won't find any pain. And if you got healed while we're praying, please leave a comment on the Facebook or Instagram. Leave a comment there. We'd love to give all the glory to God and honor God for prayer, answers to prayer, because we're supposed to return all the glory to Him. So we'd love to give all the honor back to God for answering our prayer. On Instagram, please follow us at Pastor Dunamis, at Pastor Dunamis. Several videos there that will be a blessing to your life. Thank you. God bless you. We're going to call it a day there. Remember what I said, the video will be available on Facebook, on Instagram, and in some few minutes, it will be on YouTube as well, at Dunamis Tunde Okunowo. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We declare your week is blessed.
Amen.
God will honor you.
Amen.
God will increase you on all sides. It is well with you.
Amen.
In
and
Jesus.
It is well with your marriage.
Mighty name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
This message is brought to you by Dunamis and Sophia Noah, and powered by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Shouts of Grace Center, and Kisses and Hugs Club, an online ministry to singles and married couples. connect with us on Instagram
at Pastor Dunamis, at Pastor Sophia Bola, at Shouts of Grace Center, at KC _ Global, on Facebook at KC Global,
on YouTube at Dunamis Tunde Noah, on MixLR at KHC Global. Visit our website www.kcsandhugs.com
via our mail at kcpartners@gmail.com. To partner with us, kcsandhugs.com/partnership.
God bless you.